Good morning, everyone. It's a beautiful day in Pittsburgh, and we are live today at Number One Cochran Nissan Monroeville on William Penn Highway. You got to come down here for some great things happening at Number One Cochran, where they have 19 brands, 50 dealerships. It's growing and growing, and this is a big part of it. Bob Pompiani with you for the next 2 hours. It's a good time. We'll talk about some of the stuff going on over here. But also want to remind you that our fan text line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. And fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And our show is brought to you by Number One Cochran. You can always shop 24/7 with expressway@cochran.com. But if you come here in person, you got some great things waiting for you here at Number One Cochran Nissan Monroeville. Again, right off William Penn Highway, part of Number One Cochran's five-store Nissan Supergroup, which gives you five times the pricing power, five times the selection, and five times the excitement. And they have an incredible lineup, more than 650 new Nissans, plus another 150 pre-owned vehicles. So come on down, check us out. And we have a microphone here. If you'd like to talk sports with me, I'd be more than happy to do it. But we have a lot going on today, starting with the Pirates, who were losers last night. But more importantly, yesterday, Bob Nutting spoke with reporters for the very first time, really, since training camp, spring training. And he basically did this after they made a deal with Sheets. And I don't know how you feel about this. I know a lot of people have emailed saying that these sponsorships on uniforms are going too far. To be honest, it has to happen. It is the evolution of advertising. It's also the evolution of how you make money, when you can do it at all different facets. If you watch hockey, you'll see the dasher boards are constantly being used. Center ice now in the offensive zones. Football has it everywhere. This is not a new thing. I mean, NASCAR started it. IndyCar, they have it all over themselves. And this is just the next step. And if it's a way to make money, so be it. It's not a big deal one way or the other to me, but what is a big deal is what Bob Nutting said, and I hope he's a man of his word here when he says it's, quote, incredibly important that the team take advantage of their window to become contenders, because that window right now is open given the average play that you see in Major League Baseball generally and just the logjam that you have, especially for the wild card race right now. The Pirates are right there in it despite the loss last night. Tampa's just like them. There are a lot of teams that are going to be in it all the way up until the trade deadline, which makes things very interesting because everyone's going to have needs and everyone would want to bring somebody in. And that, based on what Bob Nutting says, would include them. The question is, what do you do to get what you need? If you have to spend more money, are you willing to do it? And are you willing maybe to part with a number 5 to 8 to 10 pick in your organization? Somebody who is, carries a lot of blue chip with him, like a Tamar Johnson, like a Bubba Chandler. All those guys haven't been up here, but they still represent future pieces that teams may be interested in. And so you put them on the market if need be. But I don't know how they're going to go about it. All I know is this. I've said it before. They need hitting. They need more consistent hitting. Brian Reynolds has come to life, but they have too many holes in their lineup right now. And it's, shows up every other day, every 2 out of 3, or whatever the case may be. But at times, we saw it this week, they won or lost a 2-1 game, they won a 1-0 game. Those both should be wins based on the starting efforts that you get in those games. The window is now because you have three pitchers who can win in a short series. That's how I've looked at it, that's what I've talked about, and I will continue to talk about. Mitch Keller is enjoying his spot in this rotation. It doesn't come with the higher expectations of being the number one ace guy. Maybe that didn't suit him well. It took him a while to get to where he is. But he's got 9 wins. He's been outstanding over the last several months. And if, you could look at the numbers that Mitch Keller has put up, and he ended the last season in a way that made you think he was going to be really a dominant kind of pitcher. But in March and April, wasn't so much the start. He was, 2-3 with an over 5 ERA. But in the months of May and June now, he has really turned it up to whereas he's one of the best pitchers in the game. 6-0 record, a 1.13 ERA. Opponent's batting average against him is just .226. And he's kept the ball pretty much in the yard, which was his problem earlier in the season. But he's a 9-win pitcher, should be an all-star. You have him. You have Paul Skeens, who's right now, based on power ratings, the 7th best pitcher in all of baseball. And he's only 22 and in his rookie season. And then today's starter, Jared Jones, who goes after Tampa. Again, a guy who emerged from spring training with a really good effort, and they rewarded him by giving him a spot in the rotation. That's something that the Pirates don't normally do, but they recognize the talent, and he's pretty much lived up to it. The record doesn't say so at 4-6, but his 3.76 ERA certainly talks to that. So the question is, what will they do, and how committed are they for this season? They should be all in. If you're involved in this wild card chase, and like I said, a lot of teams are, then you owe it to your fan base. You owe it to your team, really, to just say to yourself, all right, we're gonna go after this opportunity. If you look at it right now, the wild cards are Atlanta, and they'll get there because they're hot. Austin Riley's back in their lineup, 42-31, and they have a healthy lead over both the Padres and Diamondbacks. However, the Padres are 40-40. The Diamondbacks are 500 at 38-38. The Pirates are 3 under. They're only a game and a half out of those final two. It could be the two, it could be the three. In between, you have the Cardinals, the Nationals, the Mets, the Reds are all log jammed in there. Somebody's going to move ahead at some point, and the Pirates have an opportunity to do that. Again, I would do it knowing that I think I have an advantage in a best 2 of 3, because that's what the wild card game has become. 412-928-9370 is the number if you'd like to opine on that and give me your opinions of what you think the Pirates should do at this deadline or even before. I'm of the belief they should be proactive and do it before. If you wait, a lot of teams who have the same sorts of needs, maybe after the same sorts of players, the teams that have been eliminated already are going to be looking to make deals if they can get something that would help their future case. So again, I'd start now if it were possible. I know typically you don't get much action this time of year, but you know, if you get an opportunity to do something, you should. And I think Ben Cherington knows that based on what Bob Nutting said yesterday. Also, I want to get into a move that was made with the Penguins, and it kind of went under the radar. But Alex Nedeljkovic got a 2-year, $5 million deal. He's deserved it, and that's a fair price to pay. But what does it mean to you that he's signed, Tristan Jarry is now signed, and they have a young goaltender? We talk about him throughout the course of the season, what kind of year he had, 22-year-old Joel Blomqvist, who's, to me, in need of an opportunity here. Would he get one if things remain the same? Or is this an opportunity for Kyle Dubas to move Tristan Jarry? Would he do it? The cost is over $5 million a year. He has a long contract. Some people are looking at it and say, yes. I mean, I saw the Devils this week just acquired mid-30 goalie Jacob Markstrom. They needed help. There are teams that need help. But the question is, if they plan on keeping Tristan Jarry, and it looks like they still believe in what he can do, and he certainly shows signs at times that he can be elite, what do they do with Joel Blomqvist? Just let him wait? This is why I found it interesting that they signed Nedeljkovic. I thought he might be able to go elsewhere, but he came here for $2.5 million. So how do you read that situation? But I would think that Kyle Dubas is sitting back, and if something should fall into his lap, if somebody comes calling and says, you know, we're interested in Tristan Jarry, what would it take? Then you have a conversation that has to go on. It may be that you're interested in trading Joel Blomqvist because of his potential. Would you do that? You know, they've traded goalies before. So we'll see. That's an interesting thing, even though we're not anywhere near the beginning of training camp, although we are near at the end of the hockey season, because Edmonton last night forced one more game, and it's a big one. It's game 7. And what a turnaround of this series that we have seen. It looked like it was going to be fait accompli, basically, with Florida dominating. They won game 1, 3-0. They won the second game, 4-1. They won the third game, 4-3. You know, all of a sudden, they were 4 goals in 3 games by the high-octane Oilers. And then everything changed with a blowout in game 4. They won it 8-1. And ever since then, the Oilers have been scoring a lot of goals. They have outscored them 18-5 over the last 3 games. And so the Florida Panthers go home to game 7 knowing that they could be one of only 2 teams ever to blow this 3-0 Stanley Cup Series lead. If you look back in history, you'll see teams that force Game 7 after trailing 3-0. There are just 2 of them in the history of the Stanley Cup. That's it, 2. One of them was 1945. The Detroit Red Wings trailed 3-0 to Toronto, but they lost Game 7. 1942, Toronto versus Detroit trailed 3-0, but they were the last team to win all 4 straight. I think I said that wrong with the Red Wings. They trailed. Toronto did. Red Wings ended up winning it. Toronto versus Detroit in 42. Toronto trailed 3-0, came back, and won the last 4. It's the only team that's ever done that. And, you know, Edmonton has a chance, and they have all the momentum on their side. I still have the belief, though, that the Florida Panthers are going to dig deep. They have the kind of team that can win these kinds of games. They got to get better goaltending by Sergei Bobrovsky, and I'll say that Skinner for the Oilers has been off the charts good so far. So, you know, bottom line is one game, you never know. It's very difficult to win one game when the pressure's on you at home. I think it's more difficult to do it at home. Those fans will be stoked, but if Edmonton should get a lead in this game, boy, it casts a real big pressure over the Florida Panthers, who will be at home. And one time you thought this was over and done with, and now here we are in a Game 7. And what an effort by, you know, over the course of this entire playoff series by Connor McDavid. He's moved up there in the ranks of Gretzky and Lemieux with most points in a playoff series. Can't say enough about Evan Bouchard, their defenseman, who's been outstanding. They have a lot of talent on that team. Zach Hyman has been breakthrough season, over 50 goals on the year, and he also had a big one last night. So it's going to be tough to stop. Power play, shorthanded, all of that matters in these game sevens. And it's a tense moment. You'll see it on Monday night. That will be the site at Sunrise, Florida. 412-928-9370. Let's go out to the counselor who joins us in his car, traveling around on this beautiful morning. What's up, counselor?
Yes, good morning, Bob. My comment is, fine what Nutting says, but let's see if they try and make a trade for a outfielder bat that isn't just, you know, this is gone. You know what I mean? I mean, if it has to be that, okay, but I prefer an outfielder bat, and if you have to give up a top 10 prospect with it, so be it. Now, I don't want somebody who's going to be a gone after this season to give up a top 10 prospect, but somebody who has some, years left on the contract. And
so you're not interested in a rental player strictly for a rental. I kept throwing out the name Alonso. Although, see, the Mets are in a situation where they're right in this too. And even they're in a tough conundrum because they want to sign Alonso. They've offered him. He's rejected them. But they're in a playoff race as a wild card. They need him if they're going to complete that. So they may be in a tough situation and may take more to get him away from them. So you don't want that. You want a guy who has, you know, years left on his contract, like a Luis Roberts. We talked about him last week.
Well, it's more along the lines if you're going to give up a top 10 prospect of ours in the deal.
So I don't care about that. I don't care about that at this point. If they believe their window is now, then you sacrifice some of that to get what you need now. Do you agree with that, or do you think they got to be protective of the prospects?
No, not to the point where, I don't know who the two double-A pitchers are, Simone or something like that, or and the other kid, Corbett.
Yeah, but they're double-A. They're not going to be involved here in the next several years. If your window is, what Bob Nutting says, open, and he deems it as incredibly important, those are his words, to take advantage of this opportunity, I would think anything's on the table. All right, counselor, thanks. I don't know if you were still there or not. 412-928-9370 is that number to call. But, yeah, there are guys out there. And, again, you can set your sights on teams that are eliminated from now. You know, they're going to be looking to move. They're going to be looking to do some things to attract other, you know, players to help them bolster their organization. We've talked about Vladimir Guerrero with Toronto. But, you know, Toronto's in a situation where I don't know how they view themselves. They're way back in a wild card chase. To me, they're not going to be able to overcome it. I would look. They may try to get Guerrero to sign a big deal. Maybe not. If I were the Pirates, I'd be interested in that sort of bat, even if it's a one-year kind of thing and you can't come to a conclusion about what you do with him in the future. I just think right now they have a chance. And unless they fall in the next 2 weeks, you know, four or five games out of the last wild card, then I may look at that chance very differently. But if you wait too long, sometimes you miss your opportunity. And I think that was the message yesterday with Bob Nutting. Again, the Cardinals are knocking on the door. They're essentially tied with Arizona for the last wild card. But the Pirates are just a game behind both of those teams. That's certainly within striking distance. And others, you're going to have a couple of teams that are going to move ahead and separate themselves. So you're going to have to think that, is a possibility that they certainly can look at. All right, we got to go to a break here. Well, let's take John first. Let's go John and Beaver just got on the line, then we'll take a commercial break. Hey, John, how are you?
Hey, Bob, how's it going?
What's up?
Yes, pretty good. A guy I would go all in on would be Louis Robert from the White Sox. And here's what I would look at. You have your second baseman of the future in Gonzalez. Okay, he can be here another 5 or 6 years if you want to re-sign him. Peguero is just rotting down in Indianapolis. He's expendable. He's a good player. Tamar Johnson is down in single A. He's your number two prospect. I would definitely put him in a package. So there's two middle infielders you could package right now. I would also throw in Sawinski, and I would definitely throw in one of the three double A pitchers, either Chandler, Salmeto, or Harrington. I would definitely get one of those three. You could put a really good package together and get him here. And I think he'd be a great addition for this team.
And he has years remaining on a contract, and I get that. They need outfield help. And thanks, John, for the call. I will also tell you that when you have a team like the Pirates and you have sort of a bunch of platoon players, normally you're going to get what you get from them. And I think Connor Joe is a good example. He is a really good person to have on your team. He can do a lot of things for you. But you've seen over the past 3 months his batting average and his OPS have dipped dramatically. The more people like that play, oftentimes the more they are exposed. And that's not to say he's not a bad player. He can be the kind of guy who can help you in so many ways. And he did at the beginning of the season, but things have fallen off for him. But when you have to rely on him and you don't have anyone else, and their outfield situation is Brian Reynolds and just a bunch of whatever they can come up with. Now, it's hurt that Henry Davis hasn't lived up to it. He's still in that concussion situation. It hasn't helped that, Sawinski has just been mired in, just mediocre stuff at best, and they need more out of him. They need those guys to produce if they're going to make a run. And some of this, and I think Nutting and Charrington are right, has to be internal. But you can also help your team by going outside for external players to come in here and do a helping hand as this season moves on. 412-928-9370. We're once again live here at number one Cochran Nissan Monroeville. Come on out if you're nearby. I have a lot of good stuff going on here. And remember, too, it's the number one Cochran red, white, and new celebration. So you select vehicles that are marked with special tags indicating savings up to $1,000 off their already reduced prices. And remember, these savings are only available when you visit them in store. So you got to come here now through July the 6th. We'll be back with more as we continue live in Monroeville on this beautiful Saturday ahead of the Pirates and Rays later today right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. All right, we continue live on remote location today, William Penn Highway at the number one Cochran Nissan Monroeville store. And the Cochran brand is getting bigger and bigger by the year. 19 brands they have, 50 different dealerships throughout this area and into Ohio and growing. And we have some great deals for you down here. If you come in person, number one Cochran Nissan Monroeville, again, William Penn Highway. It's part of the number one Cochran five-store Nissan Supergroup, and it gives you 5 times the pricing power, 5 times the selection, 5 times the excitement. And the Pirates are looking to provide some today excitement, that is, as they take on Tampa, and Jarrett Jones will be on the hill in that game. And he'll take on Zach Eflin, who's 3-4 with a 4.21 ERA. You're going to hear it right here on the home of the Pirates, 93.7 The Fan. In the meantime, I just want to throw out a quick story. Last night I had the pleasure of emceeing the Stan Marks, the great doctor in Pittsburgh who saved so many lives, in the Blood Cancer Research Fund. And every year they give a James Conner Courage Award. And this year's winner was Abby Hudak. And what an inspirational story and an inspirational person. I mean, Abby Hudak had long road to deal with blood cancer, but she never gave up. Certainly when times get dark, you have to dig deep to have the attitude, the willingness to persevere, and she did. And it's an amazing thing when you see someone who goes through it, beats it. She's cancer-free now, and a beautiful young lady. And just wanted to say kudos to Abby in her journey and where it's taken her. And she's now looking for some work. And if you want someone who's willing to persevere and be that person who can overcome just about anything, you should call Abby Hudak. I was that impressed with her. And I also told her she should be an inspirational speaker, because that kind of story resonates. And it also makes you realize that all the little stuff that we all worry about does not matter. And it should not matter when you have something like that dealt to you. So congrats to Abby Hudak and Dr. Stanley Marks for the great job they do in the research, the funding that is necessary to try to really not only extend lives, but ultimately come away with a cure. All right, back to the lines. We'll go to Jake in Brentwood, who kicks us off here. What's up, Jake? How are you?
Bob, good morning, buddy. How are you doing this weekend?
Doing great. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Hey, why are the Pirates going to wait till the deadline? I mean, I don't know if you've seen the Dodgers. They just lost Max Muncy. They just put him on the 60-day DL. So, you know, that's going to be a team that's going to go out and add a player. So, therefore, that's going to be one more team that the Pirates, the Dodgers will outbid us.
Go ahead. Yeah, you're in and out. That's why I'm kind of – but go ahead.
So, like, the Rays, we're playing the Rays. Why won't the Pirates go out and get Paredes? The Rays don't have no pitchers in the top 10 in their prospect list right now. You offer them Bubba Chandler and Harrington and throw Jack Swinski in. You can get Randy Arozarena and you'd get Paredes. Both guys are –
Arozarena hasn't had the best of years. You know, the thing about him, though, he's a good playoff performer.
Yeah, look at his month of June. He's on fire.
No, he's capable of doing that. When he gets hot, he's very good. I get it. And I would agree with your assessment there, John, that they need to be more proactive instead of waiting. If you wait, you know, sometimes you really do get a situation where you got a bidding war going on. And I don't think they want to get in part of that, because if they do, then they're going to have to give up more than they want to give up.
Yeah, I would like to see either them get Paredes or go get Vlad Guerrero. That puts this team over the hump. That gets you into the playoff series. And with this pitching, the sky's the limit.
Yeah, thanks, John, for the call in Brentwood. I would say Jake. I keep calling you John, but Jake in Brentwood. I put Alonso out there a few weeks ago just because I like the power and after seeing him reject the Mets on a long-term deal. So essentially this is it for him. He becomes a free agent. But the Mets are right in the thick of things, and I'm not sure if they now would be willing to give him up, knowing that they still can get in the playoffs as a wild card. I'm not a believer that the Mets can go long. I think the Pirates have the best shot of a wild card team emerging and getting into a series because of their pitching. Rich in Forest Hills joins us right now here on the Bob Pompeiani Show, live at number one Cochrane Nissan in Monroeville. What's up, Rich? Hello, Rich. Are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, Bob, I just want to agree with you on Stanley Marks. I worked with him for a number of years, and the enthusiasm and positive attitude his patients have is no small measure coming from him. But I got to disagree with you on some other things, and I'm going to check myself into the hospital in the week next week and get a brain scan and check and see what's wrong with me, because I find myself disagreeing with you a little more than I have ever.
No, that's okay.
I disagree with you about Henry Davis, and we could talk about that today or some other day. But the reason I'm calling is the Pirates. I think it's a little bit too soon to get enthusiastic. I mean, the pitching of a bullpen game every fifth day, that suggests the pitching depth that they have. The two of the three horses that everybody's relying on are rookies that, if they're not on limited on pitch counts, they should be. I just think it's too early to get the fever. Next year at this time, their pitching situation should be resolved. Rodriguez will be back. They will have had a chance to deal with first base in the offseason. Second and short are taken care of. This year, you don't know what you have with with Hayes. He's in and out of the lineup. He's not hitting like he did last year. The outfield, there's just too many holes. I mean, I think that Pirates fans, they go from extremes. They get very enthusiastic, and then they get very down. I think right now is the time to be moderate in your assessment. The Pirates don't have a long track record. I'm talking in the last 15 years of making trades that really improve their team. And not all of that's on Charrington, obviously. But the pitching depth that they have is going to be so much more valuable to them. You can spend money and go out and get what you're looking for in the offseason. In free agency. But to give up on Bubba Chandler and Thomas Harrington for the chance to get, you know, what may be an unknown commodity. And lastly, I think that the key players that are going to be available in trade will be gotten by the Yankees and the Dodgers. They're just so much more adept at, you know, think of the Chris Archer trade as an example. And I know that's ancient history, but they you know, they bid against themselves in that one. And that's what concerns me about the
current situation.
All right,
let me ask you this. I'd like to, Rich, go back to your first point about bullpen games, openers, so to speak. I don't like them. I guarantee you they're used infrequently by most teams, and it does indicate that the Pirates need another starter. But I think they have a guy who, even though he didn't pitch all that well last night, in Luis Ortiz, who should be given it, I'd rather go that route than this constant Majinski, followed by him, followed by three others, and then to burn out their bullpen on 2 days, and then you're left naked the third day. You know, I just don't understand why they have to do so much. You're going to tell me there's no one down in the minors who can come up and give you a start here and there that can help you?
Well, that's not my point. My point is that suggests that they are perilously thin on playoff quality pitching. If one of those three guys goes down, let's say you make this trade and you give up two of your top five prospects to get a player, and then one and Skeens or Jones goes down, or Keller, you've just shot yourself in the foot. They're not in a position at this
time. But when do you start being proactive and thinking you have an opportunity? At this point, you're kind of willing to say you're not willing to trade anyone in order to improve your team right now. When does now become important to you?
I think now is this upcoming offseason, and I think they're ahead of schedule in that regard. I think some of the pitching prospects have blossomed at the lower levels that they're going to have.
Which doesn't guarantee anything
more
up here, though. We've seen that before.
No, that's not my point. My point is that gives them a lot more capital if they decide to go the trade route. But again, they're still the lowest paid team in the major leagues. I mean, they can go out and spend money. Chapman, he'll be off the books after this year. That you'll have another $10 million there, okay? And if they decided to spend 30, that'd be give them $40 million to go out and buy a bat or two. I just think it's
They had the same opportunity this offseason, and they didn't do it. They went and kind of nitpicked their way around with giving $3 million here, $4 million here, $3 million here. And if you're going to make a big play, you got to go out and spend big money on guys who have proven track records. And I don't think the guys they brought in had that.
This will be the off season where they'll define themselves, because now they do have established pitching. Going into this year, they didn't have established pitching. It wouldn't have made sense to go out and spend big money without knowing.
Well, they themselves said they wanted to compete for a playoff spot this year. They were the ones suggesting, they were proactive, that this was going to be the year. And after all, it is year five. How many years do you wait before you actually do something when you have – and there's no guarantee, Rich, that next year this wild card race is going to be this wide open. There's no guarantee. You could have three teams running away from it.
I'll tell you what. If they go out and spend big money on a bat in the off season and their pitching matures and has some of the additional we can come up through the ranks in the minors comes up to help them, I don't think they're going to be looking at a wild card. I think they'll be looking at a division. Okay.
Now, real quick, let me go back to Henry Davis. You said you disagree with me on him. My only point with him is it's too young to make an assessment that he's a bust. A lot of people want to do that already. I'm not ready to do that. I've watched Keller and how long it's taken him to get to this level. Sometimes you have to wait out guys that you may not think are going to ever get there, but they surprise you, then they do. I mean, he's too valuable,
Davis,
for them to just get away from them.
I agree with you. Henry Davis needs to be managed like Paul Skeens. He's the number one pick, and I think I've made this point to you before. You go out and get a catching coach. I mean, who's the best catcher in the National League? He plays for the Dodgers. He played one plus full seasons at AAA. Mm-hmm. Okay, Henry Davis has not had that opportunity. When he comes back from this concussion, he needs to park his. He needs to be parked at AAA for the rest of the year. Work with great coaching. Get his hitting confidence back. And then we'll have the luxury of riches next year when we have Rodriguez and a competent Davis on a major league team. Joey Bart's acquisition gave you the opportunity to do that. And at the end of this, if you're impressed with Davis enough, you'll have trade value in Joey Bart. How many teams need – I mean, you look at every team in the league. You know, a premier starting catcher that can hit is like a franchise quarterback.
Giving up on Henry Davis, and I think they drafted him for that reason. They need to – and I'm up against the break, but thank you, man. I appreciate the give and take. Always appreciate that. Coming up, we have Greg, we have Jim in Whitehall, we have Tim in the North Hills. So we have a lot to get into, but I also want to remind you before we go to the break here of what's going on here with 93.7 The Fan and youth baseball, because it's very important to accentuate some of the good youth baseball that's going on. So the Fan and the Pirates have combined to say that they will visit your teams in action in the youth baseball and softball showcase. Parents and coaches, all you have to do is send an email to youthsports@937thefan.com to register your 12 and under team, and 93.7 The Fan may make a stop to your field. You can get details at 937thefan.com. Century 21 Fairways Real Estate is responsible for this. We appreciate their involvement. Want to remind you also, we're here at number one Cochran Nissan Monroeville. Stop in. There's a lot going on. And they have the red, white, and new celebration going on through July the 6th. Great inventory, great prices. Come on down in person, or you could do it Cochran.com as well. We'll be back with more calls right here. Bob Pompeiani Show continues on 93.7 The Fan. Bob Pompeiani back with you at number one Cochran Nissan in Monroeville, flanked here by Thomas Catanzarite, who is the producer on site, and Tyler Polk back at the studios handling all the updates and all the stuff that you call in, all the callers on the ones and the twos. So, Tyler, thank you. Tom, thank you very much. And we're here today until 1 o'clock, so come down in person. I also want to tell you about the Nissan deal you can get here. How about a dealer exclusive financing through number one Cochran Nissan, which is 0% APR for 60 months, available on new Rogues, Titans, and Ultima SR models. 412-928 is the 9370 is the number to call. We have a lot of people on the line, so I want to get through them. I know people have been very patient here, and we'll begin this segment with Greg in Youngstown. Greg, what's going on? I know you're an avid Pirate fan. Okay, well, Greg's gone. Let's go to Jim in Whitehall. Jim, you're up next. Go right ahead, sir.
Hey, Bob. How you doing today?
I'm great. How are you?
Good, thanks. Okay, I got one quick point or quick question here. I'm one that's been calling for the Pirates to pick up, you know, some bats and do some trades. And the thought occurred to me that when do you think they're going to shut Jones and Skeens down this year?
You know, that's a good question, and that is a concern. And I hope it doesn't come to that. They've been, I think, mindful of that and trying to control some of the innings, which is why they've gone 6 days at times, and they're, you know, using openers and bullpen people and this kind of stuff. I don't know the answer to that. I know that they have to be aware of it based on their history and how many innings pitched they've had in the past. I hope it doesn't come to that, though, because if you do go through this season and you find that's going to be the best thing long term, then what you're doing is you're saying, you know, the asset, the big advantage you may have in a short playoff series would not be available to you. So it is a concern.
Right.
I'm an old school person. I talk to a number of pitchers who have had success in this game who don't understand why there is so much emphasis on innings pitched and pitches. And I get it because they're investments. I understand that. But sometimes, you know, guys can prove you wrong and keep going despite what you think may be enough for one season. It's a tough question. They're going to have to navigate that. And I think it's something they will consider.
Right, I agree. My point is that we make a trade and give up some prospects, and come August, we're short two pitchers. Yeah, you know, so.
Well, I'm going to get Tom Catanzarite, who's here, another project. Can you find out the most innings Jarrett Jones has pitched in one season and the most innings Paul Skeens has pitched? Now, this is college baseball and, you know, a little bit last year, so we'll see what those numbers are. But thanks for the call, Jim. I think it is a concern.
Yep.
Appreciate it.
Okay.
In the meantime,
bye.
Let's go out to Tim in the North Hills, who joins us right here on 93.7 The Fan. What's up, Tim?
Hey, Bob. I kind of disagree with the caller earlier who said he wouldn't trade for he wouldn't trade prospects right now. I mean, honestly, I don't know if you remember this, but in the offseason, they were attached to a bunch of free agents, and they just weren't even able to convince them to come here. So I think the best way to acquire assets for this season and even seasons beyond, I think, is through trades. And I think they can get, you know, they don't have to sell the farm. They don't need to trade, you know, five of their top 10 prospects. But I think they can get guys that will be here longer term from some of these teams that, you know, say Miami or Oakland, that need to completely rebuild, or they're more interested in saving money until they relocate, like Oakland. You know, I think they can get guys that could be here longer term for some of those top prospects. And, I mean, you look at guys like Solomato, and, I mean, he's completely fallen off. So, you know, I would trade prospects for guaranteed major league players at this point because, you know, you have a decent core. You just need to build on that core a little bit and then maybe acquire some rentals each year. But I don't think you need to sell the farm, but I do think you're at a point now where you kind of need to sell those prospects to get major league talent to help the team win not only this year but in the following years.
Yeah, and I also, again, I don't look at this as we're 5 years into this Ben Cherington regime here. At some point, they have to be in a position to compete for something. And I think this point is now. I think they have a chance, given how many teams are involved, and they're one of them, with their distinct advantage of three starting pitchers. The goal is to get in. If you get in, like, let me ask you something. If you had a three-game series with whomever, you can even name some of the better teams. If you threw Skeens, Jones, and Keller out of three games, you have to win two. Don't you think the Pirates would be a serious contender to win a series like that?
Oh, absolutely, and I think I think even this bullpen that has been iffy at times, I do think they need to add an arm. But I mean, you know, say you get Chapman in the playoffs, you know, he sometimes he becomes kind of a different guy. I know he's older, but you know, and Bednar has really settled down. I think with this pitching, when it's at its best, you know, they could compete with anyone, and not saying they would win a World Series, or you know, not even saying they'd get the, you know, the league title or anything like that. But I think you have to strike now while the iron is hot, and then also look to the future, because you know, next year I think this team could be a competitor. I think you can't, as Mike Tomlin would say, I think you can't live in your fears with the prospects. They are a part of the future, but I think they're at a point now where they need to look to now and the future.
Yeah, I agree. I think you have to consider now based on, you know, where they are and the opportunity. Next year, that opportunity may not be available. Teams can be different. The wild card race can be completely different. And you're in it to try to do something right now. And listen, I understand why people want to protect prospects, because they are, you know, the people you could throw out there and say, in 3 years, this guy will be here. This guy is so highly thought of. But we've seen time and time again, people who have come through this system, and it's not just here, it's in a lot of places, where prospects do not pan out the way you thought they would do it. I mean, I go back to Chad Hermanson thinking he was going to be their center fielder of the future, and he was one of the biggest busts they've ever had. Tony Sanchez, although that was a signability signing, fourth overall, Bobby Bradley, Van Benscoten, and Brian Bullington. Have you ever heard of Mark Allen Merchant? He was one of their guys. He was like number two overall pick. And I mean, you don't know what these guys are going to do. When they're assets in terms of blue chip prospects who've never get on, they serve value to you. Yes, it may be ultimately on your own team, but it could also be, you know, an asset that you could use to acquire something now. And so I'm in the now mode just because it's been so long. And I think they are too. I really do. I think you're going to see them do something. The question is, what will they do and what will they be willing to part with?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, I mean, and you just have to take advantage. I mean, I think it was Joe Starkey who mentioned the Cubs with Kerry Wood. You know, you're not guaranteed that Skeens, Jones, and Keller will be performing like this every year. So, you got to take advantage when you can.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Tim. Appreciate it. And that's going to be, you know, one of their focus points. Let's go down to South Florida, which will be really excited in Sunrise, Florida on Monday night, because Lee, I don't know what part of South Florida you're in, but I imagine you are a Panthers fan. And what's happened to your team?
Hey, Pump. Yes, I am a Panthers fan, originally from Pittsburgh, so Pens are always number one in my book. But, yeah, we're heading over to the game. I'm in the Naples area, so we're going to head over. It's about an hour and a half drive. We got tickets last night, pretty pumped up. I think Edmonton's got the advantage with all the momentum, but you never know in a game seven, as we always hear. So we're looking for a big win from the Panthers on Monday night, and should be exciting. And one other thing I wanted to share with you, it's kind of neat. My buddy and I, he lives in Sarasota, originally from Pittsburgh as well. At the time I was living in Pittsburgh in 2004, he called me up and said, hey, I got two tickets to the Tampa Bay Calgary Flames game seven. Would you be interested in coming down? I had a 3- and 4-year-old at the time. My wife was listening to the call on a speakerphone, and she looked at me and said, I know you love hockey. Go for it. So we went down and saw a great Tampa win, and we're looking to revisit that 20 years later for Florida as well. So it should be a blast.
Well, they better do it, because they will go down as one of only two teams to blow a 3-0 lead in the Stanley Cup Finals. And that hasn't happened since 1942. So I thought Florida was a better team the way they were playing. Things have completely shifted. One of the reasons why, I think, is Stuart Skinner in goal for them. I thought Bob Roski was going to be an MVP, a Conn Smythe winner, three games into this series, the way he'd played the entire playoffs. Now, you'd have to give Skinner some concern. He won't get it, of course. McDavid will if they win. But Skinner's been 4-0 in facing elimination games in this tournament, .928 save percentage. I did not expect that from Stuart Skinner. So I don't know who has the goaltending edge, whereas after three games, I thought it was clearly in Bob Roski's court.
Yeah, Bob looks a little shaky. Last night scared me on the breakaway by Hyman. He had a backhand shot, and he still scored on it. And I'm hoping he can rebound. He's not known to win the big games in the past, so we'll see what happens. But I have faith, and hopefully the Red can pull through.
All right, well, listen, I'm going to share with you something that is in your favor, okay? And this is how Canada has fared in Game 7s over the last 30 years. It's interesting to look this up because the last time they were in this situation was 2011, Vancouver. They lost Game 7. You might remember that series. 2006, yep. Edmonton was in it. They lost Game 7. Although that was a team nobody expected to get to. I think they were an 8 seed. They lost in a Game 7. 2004, Calgary lost in a Game 7. 1994, Vancouver again in a Game 7. So Edmonton either can continue this trend or end the streak. They'll have a chance to do it on Monday night. Thanks, Lee. Appreciate the call.
Thanks, Pump.
All right, you have a good one. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. We have a lot to get into. I do want to get more into the hockey and what your thoughts are in Game 7, but also the signing of Alex Nedeljkovic by Kyle Dubas. 2 years, $5 million. That's $2.5 million per. What do you think that, you know, symbolizes to you? Is that something that now you kind of put a roadblock in front of a guy who I thought Joel Blomqvist was going to be given a chance? He still might. But with both Jari signed and with Nedeljkovic signed, what does that mean for that 22-year-old goaltender? I think it has a very high upside. And it could be a trade involving Jari. It could be a trade involving him, or it could be nothing. Or they'll just let him play again down there and see what happens. I'd like to hear from you at 412-928-9370. Once again, our show is brought to you by Number One Cochrane. Shop 24/7 with Expressway at Cochrane.com. Big thank you to PNC Bank. Make today the day. Ireland Contracting. Home of the nightly sports call, 7 nights a week on KDKA Plus, and sometimes here on 93.7 The Fan as well. Shenderovich, and Fishman, they got your back, not your wallet. Make sure you support all those people who support our show. I really do appreciate it very much. And now it's time for Fan Weather, which is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet 2024 Silverado LT Crew Cab. You can get up to $7,500 in rebates, full terms and qualifications, sunsevy.com. Today, high once again in the mid-90s. Sunny, no clouds, no breaks, 94 degrees. Put your SPF on, high if you can. And tonight, mostly clear, low of only 76 degrees. That is big-time summer, and we just got into summer, first day of summer. Was that yesterday? I think that was yesterday. I don't know. Summer solstice, whatever that is, we're in it now. And if it wasn't, it feels like summer for sure. We continue right here live at Number One Cochrane Nissan in Monroeville. Come on down, see us in person. The Number One Cochrane brand has been all over the place. 19 brands, 50 different dealerships, and growing. They'd love to see you with some great red, white, and new celebration sales just for you. All right, we'll be back with more. Thank you to Tyler Polk, who's been doing the ones and twos back at the station. We have Nate Haluschek, who'll be moving in. And we'll talk more sports with you on the flip side of this commercial and headline right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.